Welcome back to Hunter Logan Unmiked. It's Hunter Logan, of course. Thank all of you for tuning in. I certainly appreciate that. Tell some folks about it, if you don't mind. We're building this thing up. Or we're trying to. When I left you last week, I was talking about the divorce and the stepdad, my stepdad, and my mom getting married, and us moving. Of course, I was talking about the big motorcycle, the XS 1100 Special. That didn't make the move, though. I got ran over on that thing. And maybe I should have said that in the last episode. I was on my way home, and this old man didn't see me. And I seen him coming, but he hit me. And as soon as he hit me, I just flew off the bike, landed in the ditch. Of course, the bike's total. And I think my mom was probably happy about the bike being total. More happy that I was okay. And I walked away from it. I really did. Not a scratch. I was a little sore, but I didn't have any kind of broken bones, any kind of bruises. I would later tell the story that I broke both my legs. And I told that to my wife, like when we were dating. So I just told that story. I don't know why I would tell it. But as luck would have it, right? On one of her trips back to Germany, she went on leave. And coming back to Germany, she flies back with the granddaughter of the man who ran me over. And somehow they get to talking. Because I know the guy that she married, who happens to be a friend of mine. He's stationed in Mannheim, Germany. So they get to talking about it. It's a long trip over the Atlantic Ocean, right? And she says, his legs didn't get broken. My grandfather ran him over. Yes, that's true. But he walked away from that. He didn't break both his legs. So my wife, of course, first thing she does when she sees me, she gets me on that. So I, you know, still, that's in this whole time of the divorce thing. I mean, it's after a little bit, but I mean, it's still leftover stuff dealing with. But anyway, I figured I ought to get that story out the way with the motorcycle and the broken leg and the whole lion story thing. So that's done. So now I have the 1976 Chevy van. Good times machine, if you will. Had the couch that made into a bed. Had the sink in it, the four captain chairs that reclined, shag carpet, smoke stained glass mirrors. Had some rust on the back of the bottom of the doors. So I put some bumper stickers to cover the rust up on the back. Of course, one said, if this van's rocking, don't come knocking. The other one said, don't laugh, your daughter might be in here. That was probably inappropriate at the time, but hey. So we move to a town called Lacassine, which is about 20 minutes up the road, 15 minutes up the road, maybe something like that, 15, 20 minutes up the road. It's a little small farm community. So I don't know anyone here. And this is odd, too, because we're moving away from everything I know. So now, not only is my world that I knew, my perfect little world that I knew, in shambles, but now any semblance or any resemblance of anything that is common to me is now gone. So I have nothing, right? This is how I'm feeling now. 16 years old. There's a man who I don't know living in my house because I'm feeling that it's my house because it's been me and my mom now forever. So my dad basically checked out, my real dad. He's doing whatever he's doing with that lady, he's got, you know, two kids now. So he's basically starting a whole new family. He didn't send any kind of child support to my mom to help her out at all. So she's working. She's got a kid that's getting ready to graduate high school soon. So she's got to figure out how to come up with money for a class ring, money for all this stuff. And then because I'm thinking of myself, I'm being so ungrateful. And I don't even realize I'm being ungrateful because everything's about me. And I don't even realize the kind of strain I'm putting on her. I would realize later, and I would apologize for it, but when you're going through it as a kid like that, you don't see it. You really don't. And again, I didn't have any kind of, I just didn't have anybody. I didn't have anybody to talk to. I didn't have any counseling, and I definitely didn't have my eyes on God because I was mad. I was mad at the so-called men of God who were supposed to be godly in my eyes. And as far as I was concerned, they took up for her and not my mom. That's how I looked at it. So I'm just mad thinking that the world owes me something. When it really doesn't. But I don't see it that way. I mean, I don't see it the correct way, is what I'm saying. Now, to my stepdad's credit, he's trying his best to reach me. And every chance I got, I crapped on his head. That's the nicest way I can put it. Because some of the stuff I did to him, he did not deserve. He really didn't. Because he honestly tried to reach me the best way he could. Now, you got to understand something. At this point in time, he never had a 16-year-old child. So he's trying to be the best parent he can be in what he thinks he needs to do. But I'm past that stage. I've already been raised to the point where you can't tell me that kind of stuff. You need to do this, you need to do that, whether you think it or not. Treat me like what you would treat a 9 or 10-year-old. You can't treat me that way. Even though I'm acting like one, you still can't treat me that way. So he's up against it as well. Because he's got to please my mom. But he can't do so much against her only child that's going to upset her. So he's got a fine line he has to walk. I'm thinking, boy, he's saying, man, what the heck did I get into? Or he's saying, man, I can't wait till that kid gets out of here so I can have some peace with this woman. I would end up leaving at 17. I wouldn't wait till I was 18. I would just end up leaving. But I remember a few things that happened, like, the van broke. The camshaft and the motor went out. So I was without a vehicle. He was working in Lake Charles. My mom was still working in Jennings. She was a head cashier at Winn-Dixie at the time. And I was expecting I was too good to ride the bus, first of all. I wasn't riding the bus, right? So I wanted, since I could drive, I wanted to bring my mom to work in Jennings, then come back so I could go to school. And then, you know, I go pick her up or something. Some stupid stuff like that, which made sense to me at the time. But not, they wouldn't have anything to do with it. It didn't happen. So he said, you can walk. You can either ride the bus or you can walk. And my mom backed him up on that one. So I was so proud, too proud to ride the bus. You know what I did? I walked 2 miles. Yep, it was 2 miles. Well, actually, it was 2.5 miles to the school from the trailer park where we lived. one way. And you know what? I walked. I walked to school and I walked back to school. So that's a 5 miles there and back. I walked. Sometimes I'd get lucky and somebody would pick me up. I remember one morning this chick picked me up in this Camaro, man. I'm like, or no, Firebird. She's like, where are you going? I'm like, school. She's like, hop in, me too. And I'm like, dang. I think it was like my third day there or something, man. I don't know. And that was pretty cool. When you're an outsider in a small community, you pretty much remain an outsider. I'm just going to tell you. No matter how hard you try to fit in, you just don't. It just, you don't. But you make a friend. I mean, you make some friends. I hook up with this guy. We make friends. And his name, he was named after a fruit. I'm not gonna say his name, but he was named after a fruit. It was really cool. But he was a cool guy. You still make a friend. Remember I told you if there was a lily white kid, that's the best way I know how to explain it. Because up to this point, like I said, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't smoke weed, none of that stuff. But man, it was quite acceptable to drink. And at 18, back then at 18, you could buy alcohol legally. But over here at 17, there was a store that would sell it to you. And I'm like, what? I mean, it's a small community and it was all rice farmers. And they all knew everybody. I mean, everybody knew everybody. So by that time, these kids go to school, they get out, they work in the fields. And they're all farming and everything. So, yeah, they drink beer in the afternoon after they work. It's all part of it. So you kind of blend in. And so I get my first taste of alcohol. I ain't gonna lie. I like it. I immediately like the taste of it. And I like the taste of whiskey too. Really like the taste of whiskey. So much so that Wild Turkey 101 would become my bourbon of choice. And I would drink that for years. I would drink Wild Turkey for years. I'd drink a lot of beer for years too, especially in Germany. I don't know, I drank over 20 years, I guess. Now, I haven't touched a single drop since I came back to the Lord. I haven't touched a single drop of that stuff. That's when I started drinking. That's when I started, I guess, experiment, so you could say. So at first, I'm just kind of drinking. And I'm still fighting these demons, man. I'm still mad. Haven't dealt with anything. Because I'm still internalizing this. I'm really mad because I'm going to a school that I don't want to go to. And I hate my dad and I hate my stepdad. And I'm just miserable. Of course, I'm not living for the Lord. I'm just miserable. My stepdad has this new B2200 Mazda truck. It's very nice. He gives it to me as a graduation gift. So now all of a sudden I got a brand new truck. I don't have to walk anymore to school. I have a new truck. But like I said, man, I've done enjoyed the taste of alcohol. And you can buy this stuff now. I can buy it. So my buddy, I go pick him up, the one that has the name of a fruit. So we go to the store where you can buy the stuff. And we buy a bottle each of TJ Swan Easy Nights, right? I said cheap wine. And we're seniors this year. By this time, I'm a senior. The summer's already passed. I'm a senior by this time. Because it was the last half of my junior year that we moved. So I finished out the last half of my junior year there. And then we started the senior year. I'm 17 years old this time. At this point, I'm 17 years old. But I'm able to buy liquor, even though the legal age is 18. At this store, I'm able to buy liquor at 17. I don't have to show an ID. I'm able to buy it. We go, we buy a bottle, we down it before we get to school. We each down this bottle before we get to school. So by second period, we're getting a little buzz, man. That's a fifth of wine we just down on an empty stomach because we didn't eat breakfast. And that's what I was doing. Anything just to forget, I just didn't want to think about it. Anything to forget. And so for the whole school year, that's what I'm doing. I'm drinking. I'm drinking before school. I'm drinking after school. Sometimes I'm drinking during school because I only go for a half a day still. I go for a half a day. And then I'd go to work. I'd go pump gas at the little Conoco station there in Iowa. I got a job at the Conoco station in Iowa, and I'd pump gas and go to school, pump gas, go to school, pump gas. At least I did work. I was able to buy beer there, too, as well. Now, about this time when I started school and I'm doing this drinking stuff, I meet this girl. I start dating her. And we would date for the rest of the time that I'm there at this school while I'm working and drinking. And it was okay to drink because her family drank. That was just a common thing. We would also end up having my daughter together. That's my daughter's mom. Now, I'm not going to go any further with that story because I'm going to respect their privacy, her mom's privacy and my daughter's privacy. That's going to stay right there. So now I have this brand new truck, brand new relationship. I'm just, but I still haven't dealt with anything. And I'm still really kind of an emotional wreck. And speaking of emotional wrecks, well, I drank a little too much. I got behind the wheel, and I shouldn't have, of that new truck. And I flipped that truck. And I'm lucky that I'm alive. Now, I didn't injure anyone. I banged myself up a bit. But I rolled that thing. Now, here's a brand new truck that my stepdad gave me as a graduation present. And I just, out of stupidity, I just rolled that thing. And now I'm back on foot. Back on foot. But I have a job. I got to get to work, though. But guess what? My stepdad didn't get all irate. He didn't get crazy on me. He just said, well, he said, there's your shot, man. Bend and pat. I said, what? Yeah, bend those knees, pat those feet, get to work. And that's when my mom, so she co-signed a loan. And I got this 1974 Chevrolet El Camino. And it had the air shocks in the back where you could jack the back end up. It had air shocks. She co-signed a loan and I had to pay it. And I did. It was in rough shape. But it was better than walking. And I would realize this later on, but I remember this. He took off a whole weekend. We went to Texas because his dad owned a paint and body shop. He completely did the whole like sanded it down, got it ready for painting. It was ready to be painted, the El Camino. So he got it all ready to be painted. He did that. I think it needed, and the transmission it went out, I think, too. So I think he repaired the transmission for me as well. And did the body work for it, get ready to get painted. That's how hard my stepdad would try. Oh, I'd thank him for it, but then every chance I'd get, I'd still crap on his head. I mean, he really got the raw end of the stick during this time. He really did. He got the worst of it. Because he would really genuinely try to reach me, he would try. And everything he did just wasn't even good enough. I wouldn't even give him a chance, first of all. It wouldn't have mattered what he'd done. I wasn't ready to receive anything from him. He was the enemy, far as I was concerned. And so was my dad. They both were the enemy. But he tried. And he did so much for me. He really did. And I would just crap all over him for it. I asked my mom, well, I was so upset one time. I said, Mom, I said, you're either going to have to choose him or me. How stupid, first of all, for a kid to put his mother in that position. And how shameful I was later on when I did it. But she said, I'm really sorry that you feel that way, and I hate that you're going to do that, but if you're going to make me choose, well, I'm going to choose him. And my jaw dropped to the ground. I'm like, huh? She said, baby, she said, in a couple of years, you're going to be on your own. You're going to have your own family. And she said, I don't want to be alone. She said, I just don't want to be alone. So if you're going to make me choose, I'm going to choose him. And I was in shock. I'm like, I just couldn't believe she would choose him over me. And at 17 years old, I'm still not getting it. It's still not going through my head. I'm still not understanding. I'm still not getting it because this is still all about me. This is what happens with divorce, folks, if it doesn't get dealt with. If any of you are listening right now and you're thinking about going through a divorce, you better think about your children. You better make sure you got some help for them, some counseling set up for them, because they're going to need it. If it's too far gone for you and your spouse, you better make sure your kids have some help in place, because they're going to need it. I'm just telling you, they're going to. I'm telling you from experience, they're going to need it. Especially when another individual is going to come in their life. Thank goodness all of this is water under the bridge. I love my dad and my dad because they're both dads now. And I'll tell you how that came about too in another episode. But for now, this is going to be it. I think when we come back on the next episode, yeah, we'll talk about the first joint I ever smoked and how I really started getting into some stuff. And the music, man, how I really started developing my music, too. Because at this time now, I started to sing. Never singing before, only playing. I started to get serious about playing and singing and thinking, man, maybe I can really do this. Hey, check us out on the podcast, everywhere podcast is at. iTunes, Stitcher, even on our website, hleradio.com. Tune in. Check out hleradio.com too, man. We do a live morning show every morning. Hey, I love you. See you next time.